Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer and then move into our worship together. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this assembly. How grateful we are for the wonderful opportunities you give us to serve you, to be a witness, and to spread the gospel, the good news of your word, Father. And we pray now that this morning will be a wonderful morning of worship in the power of your Spirit, in the truth of your word. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Okay, Brian, let's begin with song.
All right, please join us as we relearn a simple song that's been absent for a while called Wherever He Leads, I'll Go. The hymn is called Wherever He Leads, I'll Go, number 361. The hymn book, if you have one nearby, please join us, number 361.
They say the first thing you say is the most remembered. So I have two things first to say. So try to remember both of them. The first one is we will have our congregational meeting 2 weeks from today. That's June the 26th. By constitution, we have to announce it 2 weeks before. So 2 weeks from today, June the 26th, we will have a congregational meeting. And a congregational meeting, that means we're going to talk about money. Well, hey, give thanks. How many Sundays out of the year do I talk about money? Come on. Not very many. So we're going to have to talk about rent and where we're staying and things like that. And we want to do it jointly, together, so that we all sync together. So 2 weeks from today, we'll have our congregational meeting. Now, the second most important thing is your prayer life. Your prayer life from today through July the 29th. Nearly every day you want to pray for the youth camp. That is Liberty Youth Camp, July 25th through 29th. And having said that, Chris Daig, add to it.
So, couple of things. We have just an astronomically wonderful blessing.
Come up here. We need to look at you. We like looking at you if you're going to talk.
All right. So the people on the, because we've actually received some wonderful, so I talk about money. You guys know that's not a problem for the camp. So we've received some wonderful blessings and gracious gifts from folks that are on the internet. So I want you guys to hear this as well. We have, I think we have 126 kids coming to camp this year, which is about 15 more than we had last year. And last year we said we were full. So, and we also have about 37 to 39 staff coming. So we're up near almost 160 plus people. And we had a fun conversation. Lori, Larry, and I had a conversation yesterday, and I literally every bed is full. I mean, we have a couple of beds in case somebody, you know, breaks something or we got to fix it or whatever. But anyway, the point is a couple of things we're looking for. With this many kids coming up, with all of the staff and all of the things we're going to be doing, we would love to offer an opportunity for folks in the congregation who can't come up through the week to help us out. On Saturday, the Saturday before, which is July 23rd, I've got a sign-up sheet in the back. But we would love to have some folks come up and help us set things up. There's a lot of physical labor involved with having to get the activities and the camp set up so that all these people can come in on Sunday and Monday. And then throughout the week, we have a couple of places where we would love to have somebody, actually one specifically on Wednesday, not to take anybody away from church, but you'll be up there with us anyway, right? So you could come up and listen to Herman all day, get a full day of church, and then still help us up there to set up the luau. And then on that Friday is tear down, because we're going to be moving and shaking this year. We do every year, but if we had folks that are interested in helping us out, that would be fantastic. And we would love to offer that opportunity for y'all to serve physically up there as well, since I know some folks can't do that throughout the week. The second thing I would love to I'm looking to see if anybody has an RV that we can actually pull in up there, and there's spots up there that we could plug it in and possibly use that if there's any need with regards to being able to give us some relief with a few extra beds for some staff. So if you know of anybody who I can get it up there, but if you know anybody who'd let us use one for the week, or that would be fantastic. We'll figure out what we would need to do with that and get it pulled up there. So, Larry, got anything else? I didn't tell you about the RV thing, but anything else you want to add to the...
Not right now. We're good.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Do you need extra fans this year? We can always use extra fans. Okay.
You need extra? Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
yes.
How can we get it to you?
We will have a sign-up sheet coming out at the beginning of July with all of the dry goods stuff that we need, and then we'll put anything that we can add on there, and then we can bring it here. We'll pick it up and move it to where it needs to go. That way you're not hauling it all over the place trying to figure out where to drop it. So we'll add that to the list, though. So anything else? Absolutely. Thursday night will be our normal parent and congregation and adults can come up and see what's going on with the kids. We did baptisms last year. Right after this, we're scheduling to do, or looking to do the same thing. This year, it's a pretty amazing evening. So we invite you all to come up. It starts about 7 o'clock. We'll get the official times out to everybody and the invitation so you can see that. But yes, absolutely. It's going to happen. So that's all I have.
Okay.
Thanks, sir.
Very good. Thank you. Mackenzie, I got to baptize you, didn't I? Ryan.
No,
Ryan. Oh, Ryan. What about you? Maybe this year. We got to dunk you. We haven't lost any. So... Okay, moving and shaking. I don't move and shake like I used to, but that turn, man, I want to move and shake. All right. Read a lot about teenagers, young people today, joining ISIS, not loving the Lord, not caring about the Word, here's your opportunity. Instead of complaining, to be in prayer about these young people that are going to be coming to camp. Some of the things that I hope happen will change their life for the rest of their life. Some of the things that I hope are happening this week will stick with them for the rest of their life. Please be in prayer. Be in prayer, one, for every young person. Start praying today that God the Holy Spirit will start working on the souls, the needs of these young people, so that they come in with a soul need and they'll go, wow, that's what I needed to hear. So the Holy Spirit can do that. So start praying that the Holy Spirit starts working on the souls of every one of these young people. Pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will keep away any distracting. But a kid that will be distracting to somebody that wants to learn, something happened, not bad, but just something happened, they don't make it, so that the other one can learn and grow in the Lord and as well as have fun. Three, be in prayer for the teachers. Be in prayer that the Holy Spirit will start preparing them even now to say the things that He, God, the Holy Spirit, would have them to say that the young people need to hear. Four, be in prayer for the whole staff, the burden on the staff. Chris, Lori, Larry, Brian, all the adult staff members that are going to be there, please be in prayer. What are you going to pray for them? Number one, and I hope I'm not out of line here, Chris, physical endurance. Physical endurance for the whole week. They're going to need it. People, you can pray that. You believe in the power of prayer? Pray for physical endurance, patience, wisdom. Got a great email this morning. I wished I was prone to having the projector up here and all, but it had learning of wisdom and patience. And it showed this big dog, and here is his bowl that he eats out of, and a skunk is eating his food. He's going to have wisdom not to bother this skunk, patience to eat after the skunk is through. I thought it was a perfect picture of wisdom and patience. So they'll need it. Physical, spiritual, and then wisdom and patience for your staff. Be in prayer for all of them. I don't know how Brian Wise does it. He's the last one to come in to get to bed, and when you wake up, he's gone. And he's getting the water ready, getting this ready, getting that ready. I think that's what he's doing. I hope he didn't go out in the woods and find some place to sleep. But he works and works. So please be in prayer for the staff, all of them. Be in prayer for the young people. Be in prayer for the teachers every day. Just put this down as your daily. People, there are only so many hours in a day. We can't put everything down every day to pray for it. I know that as well as you do. But there are some things worthy of an everyday prayer. This is worthy. And it's not very long. Less than 2 months of your devoted daily time to be in prayer. And you can do it throughout the day. Maybe 8 o'clock, pray for the staff. 12 o'clock, pray for the young people. 3 o'clock, pray for the teachers. And then go back and just say prayer. Or spend that time going to your closet, as it were, your war room, and just be in prayer and lay it out. Seriously. People, I believe in the power of prayer. I always have, and we'll see that this morning. Please be in prayer for camp, for things that will happen at camp that will have an eternal as well as a lifelong response in these young people's lives. Now, in regard to prayer other than for the camp, how's Thomas doing?
Doing fantastic. In fact, 14th we go for his 5-year checkup.
5 years, wow.
The 16th we'll be celebrating his 5-year rebirthday, they call it.
So all right.
The 5th birthday party. And I'm sure it's going to be cancer free.
That is beautiful.
I have no doubt that it'll be 5 years cancer free. So I think, I appreciate all the prayers, and I guess he still needs them, but it's not so critical, you know. I really feel confident that those reports are going to be good.
Please do not misunderstand. She didn't say for all of us to come over on the 16th to celebrate his birthday party. They're not ready for that. But just be in prayer and continual prayer for Thomas. And let's see, how are you doing? We're glad to have you back.
Thank you.
Not perfect, though.
No, not yet.
Jonathan. Okay. All right. Let's see. Yes.
My dad. An update on my dad. Wednesday. I should hear by Wednesday or Thursday. Hopefully Wednesday. What the doctors are planning to do about his liver cancer.
Okay.
Pretty promising. As far as the treatment outlook, what they're thinking about doing. But the doctor's going to a conference. He's going to come back and meet with other associates on his case, and then come back to us with a perfect plan.
Good.
So,
okay.
Sounds promising. And
we'll be in prayer for Johnny. Very good. Thank you for your prayers for my grandson, who had his mouth wired up. He's slowly gaining weight. They took a 4 or 5 day vacation and he gained 5 pounds. And so that's good. And he's eating more. And so please continue to be in prayer for Dalton and his recovery. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of that we need to be in prayer for? Yes.
Doing good.
Good. Very good. Y'all heard that, Snoopy. Heard that. Okay. All right. So, any other prayer requests or questions? Yes. Microbiology. That even sounds hard. So, you want us to be in prayer for you? Every time we pray for her, well, I just made 99. I didn't make 100. We will be in prayer. Microbiology. This summer? Wow. Well, Jerry, you want to come over and go swimming sometime? Come on over. All right. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined as one who has personally believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, but also knows how to be filled with the Holy Spirit by grace through faith, because it is the Holy Spirit who gives us wisdom on what to do with our time and money. With these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this humble assembly. And we do not cease giving thanks for your use of this assembly, the opportunities that you give us, the internet, Heavenly Father, that we have no idea of the outreach. Homes in this church that open up weekly for young people to learn the truth. We pray for these homes, parents of these homes, the young people. Missionary outreach. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we have some true missionaries that teach the Word of God. Father, right here in our own assembly, that we can come and assemble ourselves together to worship you together, study your Word together, grow in the knowledge of Christ. And Father, we pray that you'll continue to use this assembly, continue to use the finances that we give, to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, does anyone not have the handout for this morning? Wisdom and understanding. Wisdom and understanding. Okay. Wes, can you get a couple copies here, please? You got one? Okay. Anyone else not have one? That's kind of embarrassing. The preacher's wife didn't even have one. Good grief. Wow. Wisdom and understanding. Everyone have one? They all got one now. Thank you. This morning we begin two crucial verses in Colossians chapter 1. So let's go into a moment of prayer. The purpose of this prayer is to pray that God the Holy Spirit will open our eyes to the truth and have us see what He would have us to see and to understand in the Word of God. Let's pray. I pray, Heavenly Father, that You'll give me the wisdom, spiritual ability to communicate the marvel that's going on in Paul's prayer. You'll open the eyes of us all, things that we should be in prayer for ourselves and for one another. Father, I pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Excuse me a moment. I need to see you after. Yeah. I went by where you work and I got a message. Okay. All right. Colossians chapter 1. Now what James has done here, since it's been a few weeks since we've been in Colossians, 2 weeks ago Kit taught, and then last week Jody Brown gave a great message. So let's just read where we are up to verse 9. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Now this is written to Colossae, it is written to us. These are written to all members of the church throughout the church age. Verse 3, we give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's just so much theology in every phrase. It's packed with theology. Praying always for you. Now, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and love which you have for all the saints. And here we spend time and looked at 1 John 3, 21-24, which deals with those two concepts. Verse 5, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, praying in regard to the future, and the love which you have for all the saints, even those you do not know. Verse 5, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world, also is constantly bearing fruit, by unbelievers being saved and increasing throughout the world, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, and we spent a little time on a faithful pastor, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a fellow faithful servant of the Christ on your behalf. And he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. Now we begin verse 9 and 10, and I hope that I can show you the progression, the flow of these verses. For this reason also, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased to pray for you to ask that, one, you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, second petition, so that once you fill with the wisdom and understanding, so that you will be able to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. To walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, you need to have wisdom in spiritual understanding and spiritual wisdom. To please Him in all respects. Not please yourself, not please others, please Him. That's whom we are to please. Fourth petition, bearing fruit in every good work. And five, increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, verse 11 we won't get to today, but the sixth petition, strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, that's the Holy Spirit. Seven, all this for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience joyously. Okay, verse 9, for this reason. Issues expressed in verses 4 through 8, like their faith in Christ, their spiritual love toward all the saints, confidence laid up for them in heaven, how the gospel is increasing in them, because of the sound of the sound doctrine Epaphras has been teaching them. For this reason also. Also modifies or adds to, we give thanks to God. In verse 3. Now, also, along with giving thanks to God for you, and things that he petitioned, since the day we heard of it, that is, all the things that have been reported about these believers, like your love in the Spirit, things just you mentioned, we have not ceased to pray for you. Present tense of the verb to pray, meaning they constantly pray for your benefit. Paul, Timothy, and his team. All right, now, most of the time people pray for believers who are having trouble. It's kind of like the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Believers having trouble. Believers failing. They get our prayers. I want you to note some of the things in the Word of God. Paul often prays for those who are trying to grow in the knowledge of Christ. Those who are faithful in living in a manner pleasing to God. Not those that are not pleasing. But those, if we pray for those in sin. I want you to note who Paul prays for. Who does Paul pray for? He prays for those believers who are in the angelic conflict. Those growing in the knowledge of the Word of God. Those striving to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. Living in a manner that is pleasing to God. Loving one another in the power of the Spirit. These are the ones in the angelic conflict. These are the ones under the target. These are the ones under attack. These are the ones in need of our daily prayers, people. I'm not saying we don't pray for those that are hurting. I'm not saying we don't pray for those that are failing. But don't forget those that are in the conflict. Those that don't complain. Those that grow in the Word. They're in the conflict. They're struggling in ways you don't even know. Are you not struggling? So are they. We need each other's prayers. Don't stop praying for those that hurt, those living in sin, those that have these kind of problems. But people, don't forget those that are in the conflict, those that are in the battle. Sometimes we forget about praying for those. All right, and ask. We now start some primary petitions. That. Always remember, I try to teach you importance of that, so that, with the result that. Very important in the flow of Scripture. When you're just reading the Bible on your own on a rainy day, or a day that you just need to have that peace, that strength, these are the things you look for. The flow in Scripture. Why this, so that, that. This begins a list of petitions that Paul has for these believers. And it will serve as a wonderful guide for each of us in our prayers for each other. Please note he starts off with a desire for them to have knowledge of the Word of God. And he's going to end it with they have knowledge, increasing knowledge in the Word of God. People, you never learn too much about the Word of God. I don't care if you're 99. And lying in bed. I love old people lying in bed who love to just have the Bible read to them. No, not complaining. Just lie there and listen to you. Read the Word to it. I love these people. Gives them strength, courage, memories, hope. People, we never grow too old to grow in the knowledge of God. And you never know it all. I think I feel sorry for most of all for those who think they already know enough. You don't know enough. And if God has to, he'll bring you to a bridge or a wall. I don't know what to do here. That's where I want you. Now you're ready to learn some more about me. See? Be careful challenging God. Don't challenge God. I know enough. That God raises his eyebrow. Oh, you do? Well, let's see what I can come up with. See? Don't challenge God. Don't ever say those kind of things. It can't get worse than this. Joseph felt that. He was thrown into prison. And you know what? They made him the chambermaid. He had to take care of the pots. It can always get worse. Don't tempt God to show you. So don't ever think you've learned enough. Okay, now, first petition. He starts off with a desire for them to have the knowledge of the Word of God. You may be filled. In studying the Word of God, we must ask pertinent questions. Here, who is the agent of their being filled? We might first be inclined to answer God. But let's look at the request, that you may be filled. Then let's look at the Greek mood. This is in the subjunctive mood. This tells you this is not completely up to God. You may be filled. Why the subjunctive mood? Maybe they will be filled. Maybe they will not. Maybe you will be filled. Maybe you will not. Why would a believer not be filled with the knowledge? This introduces the second point. It will depend on them being faithful. Faithful to the teaching of the Word of God. They must listen to a sound teacher of the Word of God. People, there are hundreds of pastors and preachers and TV evangelists, TV people, that aren't even close to teaching the truth. And multitude, there are a lot of churches like this one, where the truth is taught. Men study. Very small groups. Very small. But those are the ones who want the teaching. So they must listen. First, they must be faithful to the teaching. They must listen to a sound teacher of the Word of God. This means they must continually sit under a pastor teacher like Epaphras, who is now deceased, so don't go look for him on the internet, who studies and teaches sound doctrine from the Word of God. Fourth, this also means they must learn under the power and teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. So there, by application, we being filled is a grace system of God has set up for us to learn the Word of God. He's given to us the Word of God, given faithful teachers, and given the Holy Spirit. Now, that you may be filled is the aorist passive subjunctive of the verb plero, to fill, to make full. The Greek verb plero, we'll take a look at it, but let me just look at this. The passive subjunctive. You know what this means? You receive being filled, and that subjunctive voice, maybe you will and maybe you won't. It's up to you. You can be filled or you may not be filled. Now the word to be filled, I want to spend a little few moments on this word. It's a beautiful Greek word. Has so many wonderful concepts. One, first, to fill up a deficiency. The moment we believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, we are deficient of so many spiritual assets. We're like a newborn baby, as it were. Deficient. We need to be taken care of. We need to be given milk. We need to be given milk from our mother's breast or from a bottle. We need to be handled gently. We need to be taught things. That's what's going on. The deficiency is built the moment we believe in Christ. Yes, God gives us 34 spiritual things that we're deficient of in His Word of wisdom. God helps us with this deficiency by supplying us with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Galatians 3:5, and with the eternal canon of Scripture. So He's giving you two things right up front. Giving you the Bible and the Holy Spirit. What are you waiting on? What's your excuse now? You've got the Holy Spirit and you've got the Word. So He's given us both of those. But it is up to each one of us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You have Him in you. Doesn't mean that you're using and applying Him by faith in the Holy Spirit. I like to use the example. It's like if I told you you had $1 million in the bank. Every one of them. This is an analogy. I'm being facetious. John Hinch has a thing. He goes, I'm being facetious. See? I'm being facetious. Every one of you have $1 million in the bank. Now don't leave. You don't have it. But it's like that. And you don't use it. You struggle to buy groceries. You struggle to pay bills. You struggle to buy things at the antique shop. You struggle at the grocery store. You struggle at the clothing store. And you got $1 million sitting in the bank. That's what you've got inside of you. More powerful than $1 million, the indwelling of God himself. God the Holy Spirit. Then we have the completed canon of Scripture. We have the Bible. One of the most wonderful things about America, you can buy a copy of this most precious book for pennies. Garage sales, Walmart, dollar store, cost you next to nothing to have the most precious book ever written on earth. And it's right there for you. God's given it to you. Giving you the Bible and the Holy Spirit. Why aren't you using them? So it's up to each one of us to be filled with the Holy Spirit and by that grace through faith, and then that we find a teacher of sound doctrine and listen and grow in the knowledge of the Word of God. Secondly, dealing with this Greek word, plural. The verb means to fill up with a specified quality. This is especially important. People, there's a deficiency inside of us. What are you going to fill it up with? Garbage? You're going to fill it up with wood, hay, and stubble? You're going to fill it up with emotionalism? Are you going to fill it up with sound quality of the Word of God? So many Christians fill their souls with false doctrine, sloppy doctrines, emotionalism. This verb beckons us to fill our souls, our thinking, with sound doctrinal teaching that is true to the gospel. This concept of filling up with the highest quality is vital to every pastor teacher. Is that what you're studying? Is that what you're feeding? Or are you giving out wood, hay, and stubble? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ. Paul is talking to Timothy. You will be a good servant of Jesus Christ, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and even of sound doctrine which you have been following. 1 Timothy 6:3. If anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of the Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness. And people, multitude of preachers are doing this. A lot of preachers are preaching immorality right from the pulpit. A lot of preachers are preaching a false gospel right from the pulpit. A lot of preachers are giving people emotionalism and all the rest, but not sound doctrine. It's tough to give sound doctrine. You've got to study. You've got to spend time in your office studying and studying where you'd rather be out doing things. Visiting in the hospital, visiting people. Do you realize the praise a preacher gets? Oh, thank you so much for coming. Yeah, I'm really good. I'm a good preacher. Get praise for that. Get praise for that. You don't get much praise sitting in your office studying. You don't get much praise. But this is what you have to do if you want to teach sound doctrine. You have to give up that time. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I believe we're in that time now. Throughout the whole world, they will not endure sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, that means pleasing to what they want, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. Preacher, tell me I can be immoral and that it's okay with God. Tell me I can be a homosexual and it's okay with God. Tell me I can do this and it's okay with God. Tell me I can do that. It's okay with God. Make me feel good about what I'm doing. And preachers will do it. They get paid good money to do that. People will pay good money to a preacher that'll tell them they're okay when they're not. The problem is, in their souls, they know they're not. But they will pay to have their ears tickled at that time. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. Titus 2, 1. But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. People, it's the pastor's job to know what sound doctrine is. It is very important. He's got to be very careful what he teaches. That brings us to the third major point on pleroho, to be filled, to be fully possessed. Paul desires that these believers be fully possessed of the Word of God and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Four, to be fully influenced in your life, in the decisions you make in your life. If you're a young person, decisions about dating, decisions about college, decisions about morality. If you're getting married, decision about whom you ought to marry. Decisions about where to go to church and why. What to do with your money. Fully influenced. Fully. Fully. Don't speed read past that. Every area of your life. Ask yourselves, what influences me in my daily life? Is it obtaining of money, pleasure, politics, possessing things? Well, people, as members of the body of Christ, here is the greatest thing you can pursue in your life, the richest possession you can obtain, knowledge and wisdom from the Word of God. And one final point, this verb is in the passive voice, which means you receive this by the intake of the Word of God, listening, believing the Word of God, listening to sound teaching, believing sound teaching, living sound teaching. First you find a teacher who is teaching sound doctrine, and then you listen and grow. Others won't like that teacher. Others will tell you they have a better one. Others will tell you theirs is more popular. Others will tell you a lot of things. You've got to make up your own mind. It's your life. When you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, you don't get to say, but he told me, but she told me, but no, it's you. There's the Lord. There you are, standing before him. Have your life evaluated. You don't get to point your finger at anybody. You don't get to blame anybody. It's your decision. You decide what you're going to do. Warning. This verb is in the subjunctive mood, which means maybe you will be filled with all these riches. Maybe not. It's up to you. Making daily decisions about the intake of doctrine. Colossians 1:9. For this reason also, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased to pray to God the Father for you, for your benefit. Paul starting praying the day he heard of these believers. And to ask, here is Paul's desire for these believers, that you may be filled. Now what does Paul pray for these believers? That they be filled, saturated, fully possessed with knowledge. Okay. And cover play role. Oh, we come to another rich word. The rich word in the Greek is epignosis. Big deal. I know exactly what that means. No, we don't know what it means, but let me help you. Epignosis. This is one of the richest words for knowledge in the New Testament because it expresses a more thorough participation. Note this is in quotes out of a lexicon. Because it expresses a more thorough participation in acquiring of knowledge on the part of the learner. Right out of a lexicon. This word refers to knowledge that strongly influences one's life. There is knowledge that will get you on jeopardy. There is knowledge that will carry you at the judgment seat of Christ. This is knowledge that Paul is referring to. You get to decide. You want to spend your life on knowledge of the world or knowledge when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ? I like the scholar R.C.H. Linsky. Said about this phrase, and James Webb put you a little bit about Linsky when he was born, things about him. Quote, there would be no holes in their knowledge of his will so that they would not substitute anything else for any part of it. You don't need to go outside of the Word of God. Here's where you have to decide for yourself. Is the Word of God sufficient for your needs? Or do you need to go outside of His Word for answers? Books written by man. Things written by man. Do you need the Word of God or Dr. Phil? Do you need the Word of God or this or that? What do you need? Is the Word of God sufficient for your needs? Is Christ sufficient for your salvation? Or do you have to add to it? Is the Word of God sufficient for your life? Okay, now, with the word, with the knowledge of his will, this is not referring to knowledge of his will of God for the ages. Although this is included, this is referring to the will of God for your life as a member of the body of Christ. God has a plan, a will for every born-again believer. The theme for the camp this year, and I'm just going to tell you, first given to me, I went, do you believe? And then Chris sat down and talked about it, told me. I went, wow, this is powerful. Do you believe in God? Do you really believe in it? Do you believe in it where it makes a difference in your life? Do you believe he has a plan for your life? Do you really believe that? Because people, if you say no, then okay. But if you say yes, then you got to seek it. You got to go after that will in his word. You got to want that will for your life. People, you need to be in prayer for these young people at camp next month. You need to be in prayer for the teachers. This is so important and vital. And this is what we're talking about. Knowledge of his will. His will for your life. Do you believe that God has a plan and a will for your life? Who you're going to marry, where you're going to go to college, what you're going to do with your money, where you're going to live, where you're going to go to church, what you're going to do in regard to your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, your life, your church. Do you believe it or not? You don't get to just say, yes, I believe it, and then go off and live however you want. We're talking about belief that makes a difference. I believe God has a will for my life. I want it. I want to know that will. I want to be in that will. I want to be in it all the time. One of my favorite songs by Charles Johnson is, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Can't even move without you holding my hand. I can't think without you controlling my mind. People, this is so important. It's not about politics. I'm sorry. It's not about November's election. It's about today in your Christian life. It's about tomorrow. What are you doing with the Lord? What are you doing about your life with him in regard to his glory? This is a knowledge that transforms your hearts and your minds and brings you into an intimate relationship with God. Remember, this is why Jesus Christ came, people, to bring us to the Father. Why did Christ come? To save us. Okay, save us from what? Save us from eternal damnation? To what? To a life with God. Christ came to bring us to God the Father. This is why the Holy Spirit was supplied to us as salvation, to bring us into intimate relationship with God. This includes the local church, where you can grow in the knowledge of the Word of God, have fellowship with others who are like-minded with you. This includes marriage, the geographical will of God for your life, the occupational will of God for your life, the directive will of God for your life. This is the most important, for it is only by and through the filling of the Holy Spirit that any believer lives in the will of God. You don't live in the will of God outside of the Holy Spirit, people. I'm sorry. You don't. Well, I can go to church and I can sing and I can pray and I can give. It's nothing. It's nothing. It's not even wood, hay, and stud. It's nothing. Only what's done in the Holy Spirit is going to be accountable. You cannot learn the knowledge of the Word of God without the Holy Spirit. You cannot live a life that is pleasing to God without the filling of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the most important of all doctrines for the believer, how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The most important doctrine for the unbeliever, how to be saved. The most important doctrine for the believer, how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a great deal of erroneous teaching on how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Some emphasize repentance, confession, yielding, feeling sorry for your sins, going to church, setting your mind on the things of holiness of the Holy Spirit, promising God you'll never do it again. All these depend on man doing something. Man repenting, man confessing, man yielding, man feeling sorry, man promising. Are you confessing enough? Are you yielded enough? We know we're not saved, delivered from the wages of sin by anything we do. So we're not going to be delivered from personal sins as a believer by anything we do. But I love the way Bill Bright of Campus Crusade for Christ worded it. We are filled with the Holy Spirit by faith. Got that out in a little booklet. How did you become a Christian? By faith. It is by grace. You have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue in Him. Colossians 1:6. As you have received Him. How'd you receive Him? By faith. Continue to walk in Him. How are you going to walk? By faith. Bill Bright goes on. Again, you are not filled with the Holy Spirit because you desire to be filled. I think that's powerful. That's powerful. But I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want it so bad. God's going to do that. No, He's not. You're not going to get it by your desire. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit because you desire to be filled with the Spirit, nor because you confess your sins. That's right out of His book. Or present your body a living sacrifice. You're filled by faith. There is no place in Scripture where you are told to pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. You are filled by faith. The problem that when I read Bill Bright and got so excited when I first read all of this, it doesn't say what or who is the object of faith. And we all know faith always has an object. Keep the faith. What does that mean? Keep the faith in what? Keep the faith in who? See? What do you mean when you say keep the faith? Have faith. Faith has to have an object. So what is the object of faith? And we must remember that it is not faith that has the power, but it is the object of faith that has the power. We're not saved because we have faith. If you have enough faith, you'll be saved. If you have enough faith, this will happen. No. It's the object of faith. The object of your faith for spirituality is God the Holy Spirit. Your object of faith for salvation was Jesus Christ. God the Father sent His Son for our salvation, and God the Father sent His Spirit for our spirituality. Lewis Berry Chafer, in chapter 7 of his book, True Spirituality, walks the believer through the theological steps of being filled with the Holy Spirit by faith in the Holy Spirit. And you can get his book, and we have some in the back there, and read chapter 7. Now, Colossians 1:9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. People, the things you just hear about that should incite prayer. Give you some examples. My grandchildren will bring over their friends from their school. And he's doing this, and she's doing that. People, I go to my office and write those names down. It's part of my prayer now. I don't even know these kids. But I know they're in the journey. I hope they're saved. Sometimes if they don't just run in and run out, I get to talk with them, and I find out. But people, when you hear just of some people, you go, I need to pray for them. I need to pray for them. I don't know them, but so-and-so knows them. They know them. They ask me to pray. I need to be in prayer. No, you can't pray for everything every day. But every day, you pray for some. And another day, you pray for others. Every day, you pray for the young people at youth camp this July. And it'll soon be over, and then you can add other things to your prayer list. But right now, make it part of your everyday prayer. Believe in the power of prayer. Okay. For this reason, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. Now we're ready for the next phrase. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Here we have wisdom and understanding, but not just any understanding and not just any wisdom, but spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. Let's not speed read past that three-letter word all. In all spiritual wisdom. To grasp the significance of all, we must grasp the significance of wisdom. Wisdom, the Greek word is Sophia, where we get the English word sophomore. They think they know it all, but they're just beginning. They're beginning their journey of wisdom. All right. The search for wisdom is one of the basic desires of man. Now, the reason you see Webb through here, I don't know how you've got it in here, but when I send him my notes, I make little comments to him. And that's where that comes from. Okay. The search for wisdom is one of the most basic desires of man. This search began in the first book given to us by God, the book of Job. A marvelous study. I almost got sidetracked. I almost got to spend about 3 months on the book of Job here. But I persevered, said no. We'll just read it. Job 28, verse 12. But where can wisdom be found? Now, people, first book written, first thing God wants us to know is in the book of Job. The gospel, so much is in this book. And this man, Job, around 2000, 2100 BC, this was his question. Where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Whoa! Those are our two words! You see that? These are our two words. What are you doing with those? Where did Paul get them? Is a better question. Paul got them here. Wisdom and understanding. Job 28:20. Where then does wisdom come from? And where is the place of understanding? People, this is wisdom about your life. You ever wonder, boy, I wish I'd said that. I wish I'd have said this. I wish I understood that. I wish I understood this. Don't try to do it in the world. I wish I understand what's going on politically. I wish I understood what's going on with the world. I wish I understand why the Muslim faith is just increasing and increasing. I wish I understood all these things. Go to the Word of God. Here's wisdom. Here's understanding. Here's wisdom, understanding, peace in this understanding. But Job 28:20, where does wisdom come from? And where does the place of understanding? And I just had Colossians 1:9 put in. We pray for you to ask that you may be filled with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I hope you see it. See that these two words in Job are the same two words in Colossians. Wisdom, understanding. I want to make straight A's in school. I don't care whether you make straight A's in school. If you have the wisdom and understanding of the Word of God, that's what's important. That's what's really important. Okay? This is the crucial part of your life. Job, in Job 28:12 and 28:20, asks, where can wisdom be found? I want to say with all due respect that this is what every parent, father, and mother and are designed to teach their children. But they have to know where it's found. Where is wisdom found? Where is understanding found? They have to know wisdom. Okay? Where can wisdom be found? Question, does Job answer his own question? I'm so thankful you asked that. Yes, he did. Look where he answered it. Job 28:23, same chapter. God understands it. God understands wisdom. God understands understanding. God understands its wisdom way. And he knows its place. That is, God knows where it can be found. So if you desire wisdom, and you should, you have to go to the Word of God. Is the Word of God sufficient to give you wisdom? Or do you have to read Aristotle? Or do you have to read some wisdom of man? Or do you need to go to some writings of man? What about understanding? Job 28:28. We have both of these words. And in Colossians 1:9. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. The Hebrew word for fear is usually used in a positive connotation. Not so much as fear as we might fear danger, but as fear, as in maximum respect. However, it is wisdom to fear the Lord, so not to sin against him. Verse 28 of Colossians, of Job 28, and depart from evil is understanding. Let's read the verse without any commentary. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that's wisdom. Depart from evil, that's understanding. There you have it. Again, we have a clear declaration of our society today. We do not depart from evil, but whether we embrace evil today, from the judicial system down to the open criminal. Another passage that has both concepts of wisdom and understanding together, Psalm 111, verse 10. See what it says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding, have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. God's praise, not man's, God's. It's going to endure forever when the world's gone. It'll be here. So, both Job 28, Psalm 111 use the same word for fear. On the one hand, it refers to awe or maximum respect for God. But depending on one's circumstances, it also refers to a fear that prevents one from sinning. Exodus 20:20. And it is the motivation to learn more and more sound doctrine. You know what? If I do this, and now I'm just giving you straight back to my life. If I do this, I'm going to get in real trouble for my mother. I don't want that. I don't want that. She is as short as me, but she is a lot stronger than me, a lot meaner than me, a lot tougher than me. So you know what? I'm not going to do it. Plus, I love her. I don't want to disappoint her. And that guided me through some crucial moments in high school. Some crucial times. I just don't want to do this. I don't want to go there. I know what goes on there. I just don't want to. It's not where my mother wants me to go, and I don't want to disappoint her. That's the thing we should have with the Lord. I love him. I love him. I love him more than I love what is in that room or that journey. Or I fear him. You know, I'd really like to go in there, but boy, he's going to whap me. And when he whaps me, I hurt. I hurt all over. And I just don't want the Lord to have to whap me. See? So either way you want to go at it, it's wisdom. Love is wisdom. Fear of the Lord's discipline is wisdom. Whichever one works for you at any given time. Psalm 119:38. Establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence for you. The word of God, taken in, knowledge of God, will establish reverence for him in you. Note that the word establish, this goes along with the phrase, you may be filled in Colossians 1:9. I just point out these little things like that so that you, when you're studying and reading the Bible for yourself, that's this means. That's what this is dealing with. The Hebrew establish is very close to the Greek word to fill. God will cause his word to be established in you, or that you may be filled. When we get under a teacher of sound doctrine, learn and grow in the word of God by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, when we believe the word of God and are trusting his Holy Spirit to teach us and then to live it. There's wisdom. Let's stop right here and see what we have learned about wisdom and understanding. Just pull some things together. Wisdom. God knows where wisdom is to be found. So that's where I need to go. God knows. I'm going to go to his word. That's where I'll find it. Two, fear and awe of the Lord. That's wisdom. Whether you fear his discipline or have such love and awe for him that guides you. Three, his word brings fear, which is wisdom, the study of his word. Now let's note a summary of understanding. Understanding, one, we've seen, departing from evil. You've got to know what evil is, and then you depart from it. Evil, theologically, false doctrine, false gospel, that's evil. When a pastor stands up, I don't care how moral he is, and he tells you you have to do something to be saved, he's evil. You understand? He's evil. He's not telling you how to be saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. I don't care how his morality is. He's an evil person. So there's evil in theology. There's evil in morality. There's evil in living our life. Got to understand evil in its categories and stay away from it. A good understanding has all who lives to the pleasing. Departing from evil is understanding. Two, a good understanding has all who lives to please God, walking, living in a manner that is pleasing to God. That's understanding. I understand God's way here. Wisdom and understanding are so important to our daily lives. Making decisions each day. We need wisdom. We need wisdom in dealing with your husband. We need wisdom in dealing with your wife. It isn't just something you can just have happen come to the flesh? It's wisdom. Wisdom. What does my wife need today? What does my husband need today? What do my children need today? What do my friends need today? That's wisdom. How to talk. How to answer. How to reply. That's wisdom. How not to answer. How not to reply. That's wisdom. Living by the wisdom of God is one of the most profound witnesses that we can make. Deuteronomy 4:6. So keep and do them, for that is your wisdom and your understanding. In the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Where'd you get such wisdom? Well, you ask. You ask. I got it from the Word of God. I got it from the Bible. I got it from studying the Word of God. I got it from going to church where I learned the Word of God, studying the Word of God. You ask, that's where I got it. I got it from the Bible. That's wisdom. And that impresses people. Wisdom is a rare commodity today. We talk about common sense. There's no common sense, and there's no common wisdom. It's rare. But you and I are to demonstrate it in our actions, in our words, in our lives. Parents, this is what you should desire for your children. Not that they are smart, intelligent, but that people come to them and say, wow, you're wise. Now, we're not saying here you're a wise family. We're talking about wisdom from God. Say, you're wise. Where did you get such wisdom? Right here, they are focused, forced to witness for Christ, from the Word of God, from growing in the knowledge of Christ. That's where I got it. Here's another issue of wisdom. Wisdom from God will guide you in all decision making in your life. Ezra 7:25. Voting. That ring a bell this year? All right, let's take a look. You, Ezra, according to the wisdom of your God. Now let me show you the wisdom of Ezra. He was both priest and scribe of the Jews. He led a large number of Jews back to Israel from Babylonian captivity that we studied in Daniel. He did much to establish the truth among the people, and he helped in rebuilding the temple and the walls of Jerusalem. That's quite a lot for one man. That's a lot. He was a priest and a scribe. He led them back. Helped build the building of the temple, helped building of the walls, helped rebuilding Jerusalem. Now, verse 25. You, Ezra, according, now you know who he is, according to the wisdom of your God, which is in your hand, that is at your disposal under your control, appoint magistrates and judges that they may judge all the people who are in the province beyond the river, even all those who know the laws of your God. And what happens if there are none who know the Word of God, who do not know the wisdom of God? And you may teach anyone who is ignorant of them. That's what we get to do. Get to teach those who are ignorant of the truth. And what happens if they refuse to learn the wisdom of the Word of God? They receive the wrath of God, also given in the Ezra passage. Parents who are wise, now I'm not talking about the wise family here. We have a family in our church wise, but I'm talking about wisdom wise, okay? Not that they're not. Don't move that. You know, I can keep getting deeper and deeper here if I just keep talking. So let me just move on. All right. Parents who are wise, begin teaching their young children the Holy Scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Again, here is simple gospel for all the ages. Now, while James deals with two sources of wisdom in the book of James, James 3:15-17, wisdom is from man, wisdom is from God. You get to choose. 3:15, this wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is, now here's wisdom from the earth. Earthly, related to the earth. Natural, demonic. Verse 15, but the wisdom from above. wisdom of God, is first pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. This is the wisdom we learn in the Word of God. You get to choose which wisdom you want. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, in the first two chapters of 1 Corinthians, gives an extensive dissertation on wisdom. I've just picked out a few of the verses to pull together here. Verse 19, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise," that's the wise of the world, "and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside." I don't know IQs, but I think it would be safe to say one of the smartest men on earth today is Hawkins, the physicist in England. What does he say? He's going to make him the clever. He's going to destroy his wisdom. Oh, there's no God. That's just something these weak people need. See? You can be very wise in human understanding, but totally ignorant of the plan of God. Or you can be ignorant of the wisdom of man and totally wise in the Word of God. Which do you want for your children? Which do you want? Wisdom of the world, wisdom of God. That's a big difference. We make a big deal out of doing your homework, learning this, learning that. What about their learning about God? What about their growing in the wisdom of God? That's what you should desire as a parent. Verse 20. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Now each of these are categories in the Greek world. For since the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God. God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Foolishness of the gospel. You mean just by simply believing in Jesus Christ, you think you have eternal life? I'm that foolish. I believe that. That's wisdom to me because of the work of Christ on the cross. Verse 22. For indeed, Jews ask for signs. Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles sheer foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jew and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Jesus Christ is all of those. He's wisdom, he's righteousness, sanctification, redemption, and a whole lot more. The wisdom of God is Jesus Christ. This is the reason why we're studying the book of Colossians, so that you will have full knowledge and wisdom. Let's look at Colossians 1:9 again now. For this reason also, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Understanding. We are just in the 9th verse of the 1st chapter of Colossians, and note the words that have already had. First in verse 6, and understand the grace and truth of God in truth. Here we saw the word epigenosko, which we saw means to fully know, to fully understand. Verse 7, as you learned, Greek mathano, which means to learn from listening, to learn that you understand. Then we have in verse 9, that you may be filled with the knowledge, which is the noun form of the verb just noted, epinosis, to be committed to learning and understanding. Now, we come to the fact that this is not referring to human wisdom in any understanding that comes from human IQ. We're really impressed with IQ. My IQ is 135. Well, isn't that wonderful? Do you know Christ is your Savior? I'm too smart to believe in that stuff. Well, you're totally foolish. All your wisdom has made you foolish. See? My IQ is just above room temperature, 71. But I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. Bingo. You're a genius. You're a genius before God. See? Spiritual understanding, spiritual wisdom. That word spiritual, that's the word pneumatikos. Here's yet another word you have to be careful when someone uses the term. It goes along with the words like grace, faith, love, gospel, spiritual. What do they mean when they use these words? Just because someone talks about the love of God doesn't mean they understand it. Just because they talk about the grace of God does not mean they understand it. And just because they talk about spiritual things does not mean they understand it. What do they mean by these words? This word refers to the ministry of God the Holy Spirit, pertaining to, proceeding from the Holy Spirit. For an example, 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5. And my message, Paul's message, and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, which impresses the Greeks, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now look at the next verse, where the Holy Spirit is the object of faith. So that your faith would not rest in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Show me a verse where we trust the Holy Spirit. I just showed you. There you got it. 1 Corinthians 2, 4, and 5. You trust the Holy Spirit. Here is something that multitudes, even Christians, do not like to talk about. Judgment. Many Christians do not believe that God is going to judge unrighteousness in individuals who are in the nation. But let's look at Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God, that's judgment, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And this is what wisdom is well aware of and is not afraid to speak. Psalm 37:30. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks judgment. You want to be wise? What do you utter? The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks judgment. Wisdom is knowing there are repercussions for our actions, something parents need to teach children today. One of the responsibilities of the pastor teacher is to teach the shortness of life and then the judgment seat of Christ. Rapture, judgment seat. Ready for the rapture? Have you believed in Christ? You're ready. Doesn't matter when it occurs. But are you ready for the first thing that happens after the rapture? Are you ready for the judgment seat of Christ? Are you ready to stand and look Him face to face and have Him evaluate your life? Psalm 90:12. So teach us to number our days. Number your days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Do you have enough days to spend being addicted to drugs, pornography, making of money, Facebook, I had to throw that in, TV, all these type of things? Do you have enough days to waste on all that stuff? See? Now, if you're McKenzie's age, yeah, I do. I got lots of time. I can waste lots of days sunbathing and on Facebook. But people, when you go get old as I am, you don't have those days anymore. Every day is valuable. Every day is precious. So, Psalm 90:12, teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Do you have enough days to spend in those things? Colossians 1:9, for this reason also, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased to pray for you. Guideline for all of us to pray, to ask that you be filled with your soul saturated with the knowledge that comes only from the Word of God, of His will for you personally, individually, in all spiritual wisdom centered on the person of Christ and spiritual understanding. Okay, the last parts of this, James has added to it, and I want to draw your attention on page 22. Is Christ sufficient for your life? Is the Word of God sufficient for your life? And then I asked James if he would include the, page 24. Two little lines I heard one day traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart and from my mind would not depart. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon its fleeting hours will be done. Then in that day my Lord to meet, and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, the still small voice, gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfish aims to leave and to God, God's holy will to cleave. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, a few brief years, each with its burdens, hopes and fears, each with its clays I must fulfill, living for self or in his will. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. When this bright world would tempt me so, when Satan would a victory score, when self would seek to have its way, then help me, Lord, with joy to say, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Give me, Father, a purpose deep, in joy or sorrow, thy word to keep. Faithful and true, whatever the strife, pleasing thee in my daily life. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, let my love with fever burn, and from the world now let me turn, living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasure on thy throne. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say, thy will be done. And when at last I'll hear the call, I know I'll say, 'twas worth it all. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And when I'm dying, how happy I'll be if the lamp of my life has been burned for thee. C.T. Studd. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you're the all-wise God. You gave us your Son to save us. You gave us your Spirit to fill us. You gave us your Word to direct us. How grateful we are for these, Heavenly Father. And it is our purpose to exploit your love, your Word, your Spirit, your Son, every day. Father, we pray that you take the things we've seen this morning, use them to the glory of Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.